1 John chapter 5. We've been looking at this little epistle, haven't we, on Sunday mornings? And we have come to our 18th study. And I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, put the key in to open the door. And I want to talk to you about prayer. And we're going to read from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's one reason why John wrote this epistle, to provide assurance for the people of God. Here's our text this morning. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Or, this is the confidence that we have before him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Let me read those two verses again. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Let's keep our Bibles open there. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father, we just want to tell thee afresh this morning how much we appreciate the Word of God. We thank thee that we have thy Word in our own mother tongue. We thank you, Lord, this morning that we hold in our hands the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of the living God. And our Father, as we turn to thy Word just now, speak to our hearts, Lord. Grant that we might hear a voice from behind saying, this is the way, walk ye therein, for Christ's sake. Amen. Put the key in to open the door. Dr. James Gilmore, a longtime missionary to Mongolia, was once asked to treat some wounded soldiers. Although he was not a doctor, he was not a surgeon, he did have some knowledge of first aid. He couldn't refuse the request. He dressed the wounds of the first two men, but a third man had a badly broken thigh bone. The missionary had no idea how to treat such an injury. The only thing that he knew was to pray and to spread this need before the Lord. And so kneeling beside the man, he began to pray. He didn't know how the Lord would answer his prayer. He just believed that somehow God would meet the need. He looked, but he could find no books on physiology in the primitive hospital. No doctor had yet arrived. And to complicate matters, a crowd of beggars had gathered together to beg for money. He was deeply concerned for his patient, and yet his heart went out to these beggars quickly. He gave them some money, he left them some words of encouragement, and then turned away. A moment later, he turned in amazement at a beggar who had remained behind. The half-starved beggar was little more than a living skeleton. And the missionary, James Gilmore, realized at that moment that God had answered his prayer and brought him a walking lesson in anatomy. He asked the elderly gentleman if he could examine him. He agreed. And by carefully tracking the femur bone with his fingers in order to treat the soldier's broken leg, James Gilmore was able to return to his patient and to set the fracture. Gilmore later testified that God provided him with a strange and yet sufficient answer. Once again, he was reminded that in order to get an answer to prayer, one must simply pray. One of the most important subjects in the Christian life is prayer. And as the Apostle John comes to the conclusion of this little epistle, he gathers together some of the themes that he has already dealt with throughout this epistle. And here in verses 14 and 15, he returns to the theme of prayer. Would you agree with me this morning when I say that prayer can be a tough assignment at the best of times? It is something that many of us Christian believers struggle with. There always seems to be so many pressures encroaching upon our time that prayer is something we often do in the hoof. And even when we get down to prayer, we are never quite sure how to go about the matter of prayer. And yet, my dear friends, God does nothing apart from prayer. You see, if you've been ill recently and you're now restored, it's because someone has prayed for you. If you have been lost recently but you're now saved, it's because someone has prayed for you. Prayer is the key to all that God does. Dr. R.A. Torrey said prayer is the key that unlocks the storehouses of God's grace and His power. Of all that God is, of all that God has, is at the disposal of prayer. We must use the key of prayer. Prayer, he says, can do anything that God can do. And since God can do anything, prayer is omnipotent. You see, the key to getting God to work is prayer. But here's the question. What is the key to getting prayer to work? The golden key to prayer is praying in the will of God. It is making sure that what you ask from God is exactly what God wants to give to you, is exactly what God wants to do for you. And so I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning on the subject, put the key in to open the door. Look at these two verses with me. For John here describes certain keys that you and I must use to open this door. First of all, what we must be confident in our prayer. We must be confident in our prayer. Look at verse 14 where John says, "And this is the confidence." The word literally means freedom of speech. The Greeks used this word as a political term. It refers to the freedom of mind that you have to speak in an open assembly. We must go to the Lord with confidence. We must go to the Lord with the knowledge that we have the confidence to speak our minds and our hearts to God. I want to tell you this morning that when you pray, God is not concerned with how eloquent you pray. I want to tell you that God is not concerned with primarily how fervent you pray. God is concerned with how confident you pray. We are to go to the Lord with confidence. You know, three times in this little epistle, John has talked about our confidence before the Lord. You remember in chapter 2, he says we can have confidence before Him and not be ashamed at His coming. In chapter 3, he says we can have confidence toward God. In chapter 4, he states we can have confidence or boldness in the day of judgment. And here in chapter 5, we can have confidence as we come before the Lord in prayer. We must be confident that we have access to God. We must be confident that we have an audience with God. We must be confident that we can get an answer from God. My friend, this morning, God wants to answer your prayer. You don't have to press to pester God. You don't have to twist the arm of God. You don't have to bribe God. God wants to answer your prayer. George Mueller, that great man who established those orphanages in the city of Bristol, George Mueller, who would never make his need known to man, but only to God, George Mueller said this: prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, it is laying hold of the willingness of God. I am to be bold, confident, as I come before the Lord in prayer. But why? Why should I be so bold and confident? I am but a speck of the dust as I enter into the presence of the Creator of the universe. I want to tell you this morning, if I were invited to Buckingham Palace today, I wouldn't be very confident. I would not be very assured. I would feel intimidated. But here we're told to confidently come before the Lord, to freely speak our minds before God, expecting God to answer. Now, why? Why can we be so confident before the Lord? We'll look at the text. First of all, because of the position that we occupy. Do you see what John says in verse 14? And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Now, who is the we that John's talking about? Well, according to verse 13, it is the people who believe on the name of the Son of God. And who are they? They are the children of God, according to verse 1. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You see, the first reason that you and I are to be confident before the Lord is this: we are the children of God. Whenever you pray, wherever you pray, for whatever you pray, you are not speaking as a citizen to the Prime Minister. You are not speaking as a subject to a king. You are not speaking as a slave to a master. But when you and I come before the throne of grace in prayer, we are speaking as a son to a father. I imagine the disciples, the early disciples, felt much the same way about prayer as you and I do. Never ceases to amaze me that when they came before the Lord Jesus and they asked Him, they didn't say to Him, "Lord, teach us how to preach." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to win our friends and family for Christ." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to exorcise demons, how to work miracles." They came before the Lord and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." You know the very first thing that Christ taught them? And He said unto them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven." Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ." Peter in his opening epistle says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are to talk to the Lord as a child talks to his father. That's the basis of all prayer. Prayer is based on the relationship of a child to a father. And here's why you and I can be so confident this morning. We come before the Lord as children to the Father, and we can be confident because of the position that we occupy. But look at verse 14 again. We can be confident because of the privilege we enjoy. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, with Him, beside Him. To be placed in a very near proximity to. You see, when you pray, you are immediately transported from this earth and placed at the feet of the Lord. Someone has said that prayer is whispering into the ear of God. Prayer is whispering into the ear of God. For when you pray, the Lord takes time to listen. And He listens sincerely, and He listens attentively, and He listens compassionately. The Lord wants to know what's on your heart. Joseph Scriven, the man from Banbridge, wrote that famous hymn, "What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." How many of you think today, if I were to call the Prime Minister, that he would take time to listen to me? I tell you, he wouldn't listen to me. How many of you think that if I were to write a letter to the Prime Minister this week, that he himself would actually read that letter? But the moment I look up to heaven and say, Heavenly Father, the Father looks at me and says, Son, you've got my undivided attention. By the way, did you notice that our confidence is to be placed in God, not in prayer? Look at verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that we have before Him, not before prayer. You see, we are to pray in faith, but our faith is never to be placed in prayer. Faith is to be placed in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not told in the Word of God to pray in the name of prayer. You're told to pray in the name of Jesus. And my friend, when you pray, do not concentrate on what you're asking for. Concentrate more on who you are praying to. Mac Taylor says, when you bring a request before God, don't glance at God and gaze at the request, but glance at the request and gaze at God. Don't be so occupied, he says, with what you want to say that you forget the one with whom you are saying it to. And so John is saying, here's how we can be so confident. Here's why we can be so assured. Here's why we can be so bold. Because of the position we occupy, we're the children of God. Because of the privilege we enjoy. And then he says, because of the person we approach. Look at verse 14 again. This is the confidence that we have in or before Him. You recall what the writer to the Hebrews said. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And whenever you come across the word therefore in the New Testament, you should always pause and see what it's there for. What's to be the ground? What is to be the basis of our prayer? Well, you say this morning, what's the function of a priest? Well, I'll tell you. A prophet was one who represented God before the people, but a priest was one who represented the people before God. A priest was one who came into the presence of God and represented Israel before God. A priest makes intercession for his people. Isn't it amazing? But when we're talking to the Father, we are being prayed for by the Son. As we intercede with the Father, we are being interceded for by the Son. Listen, do you not think this morning that you can approach the throne of grace with boldness, with confidence? Because of the position you occupy, because of the privilege you enjoy, because of the person you approach. Here's one of the keys to put in the lock, to open the door. We're to be confident in our prayer. Here's the second key. We are to be committed to His plan. Confident in our prayer, committed to His plan. Look at verse 14 again. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Or as the Amplified Bible puts it, if we ask anything according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He hears us. Someone as well said that nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies beyond the will of God. Did you get that? Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies beyond the will of God. Do you know the most important thing about prayer? I'm here to tell you. It's the will of God. Now, will you notice what John says? If we ask anything according to His will. Now, I want you to notice that the phrase or the word anything is contingent on His or according to His will. To pray in the will of God, what does it mean? Three things. One, we must seek His will. Two, we must know His will. Three, we must do His will. We must seek the will of God. We must know the will of God. We must do the will. Now, if you want to pray this morning according to the will of God, if you want to pray according to His will, you must first of all pursue the will of God. Pursue the will of God. It was Robert Law who said, prayer is a mighty instrument. Not forgetting man's will done in heaven, but forgetting God's will done on earth. Isn't that what prayer is this morning? It's not forgetting your will done in heaven. It's forgetting God's will done on earth. That's what prayer is all about. That's the purpose of prayer. Getting the Lord's will done on earth. And therefore we must desire the will of God. Is that not what the Lord Jesus desired? I was reading the other day what he said in John 4. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You remember speaking in agony in the garden of Gethsemane. He cries, not my will, not my will, but thine be done. You say, preacher, in my praying, am I to be restricted to the will of God? My dear friend, this morning, the will of God will not limit your prayers. It will lift your prayers. For you to be worried about praying in the will of God is just like a minnow being concerned about being hemmed in by the mighty Atlantic Ocean. It's not that God wants to give you fewer blessings. God wants to give you greater blessings. God's will may be different from your wants, but I'm here to tell you that it will be better than your wants. There used to be a preacher down in the state of Florida. He was called Dr. Ed Solomon. He was a mighty preacher of the Word of God. He was a gifted preacher of the Word of God. And one Sunday, Dr. Solomon got up in his church, right in the college town or city where he went to study. And some of his professors from the seminary days were out there in the audience, and his wife was out there in the audience, and he said, God never did give me what I wanted. God never give me what I wanted. He said, God didn't let me pastor the church. I always wanted to pastor. And the church was sitting there listening to him. And he said, God didn't grant me the desire to go to the college or the seminary where I wanted to go there. And some of his professors were sitting right there. And he says, God didn't even let me marry the woman I wanted to marry. And his wife is sitting in the audience. I tell you, there was a hush over that congregation that morning. You could almost hear the grass growing outside. And then he said this, you know what? God always give me something better than I wanted. God always give me something better than I wanted. Don't be afraid of the will of God. Pursue it, seek it, ask for it with all of your heart. Pursue the will of God. And then, my dear friends, perceive the will of God. You know, when you talk about the will of God, the question is always asked, well, how can you know the will of God? Well, my dear friends, according to the Word of God, it's possible to know the will of God. You remember what Paul prays for the Colossian believers? His prayer was this, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul says, God wants you to fill you with His knowledge, the knowledge of His will. There are two primary ways to discern the will of God. First of all, there is the external witness of the Scripture. Secondly, there's the internal witness of the Spirit. God's will is revealed in His Word. God shows you His desire in His Word. Sometimes when you ask the Lord for some direction in a decision, God will bring some passage of Scripture to your mind that will relate specifically and personally and individually to your circumstances. And then as we allow the Word of God to permeate our being, its teachings, its principles will permeate our lives so that we're able to discern the will of God in certain situations. Sometimes I hear folks saying and praying, Lord, if it be Thy will, save so-and-so. Well, has God ever said that it's His will to save the lost? Indeed He has. We know that we're praying in the will of God when we ask the Lord to save the lost. According to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 4, where Paul says God will have all men to be saved. And my dear friends, we know we're praying in the will of God When we ask God for wisdom, according to James 1:5, for He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And we know that we're praying in the will of God when we stand up in the prayer meeting and pray that God will thrust out laborers into the vineyard, according to Matthew 9:38. You can discern the will of God as you study the Word of God. There's the external witness of the Scriptures, and then there's the internal witness of the Spirit. For the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit makes an impression on your heart. The Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God. He makes it real in your life. He gives you a definite assurance and direction. Notice what John's saying. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And so we must pursue the will of God. We must perceive the will of God. And then we must perform the will of God. My friend, you'll never know God's will unless you're willing to do it. Did you know that? You'll never know God's will unless you're willing to do it. The Lord Jesus said in John 7, if any man shall do His will, he shall know. In other words, obedience brings revelation. As Stephen Alford said long ago, when I cease to obey, God ceases to reveal. When I start obeying, God starts revealing. You know, some Christians think that God's will is just like a cafeteria line with a wide selection of choice. And you can go through life and say, well, I'll take this, but I won't take that. I can do this, but I won't do that. You know, there are people who make up their mind to do what they want to do, regardless of what God wants them to do. And then they go to the Lord and pray about it, what they want to do. And then they say, God has told them to do it. Absolute nonsense. My friend, if you're going to pray in the will of God, if you're going to get your prayers answered, you must be determined right now, no matter what that will of God entails for your life, that you're prepared to do it, no matter what the cost, you must be committed to His plan. Now, there's another key for putting in the door of prayer. We know this morning that God works in response to prayer, but how can we get praying to work? Well, we must be confident in our prayer. Key number two, we must be committed to His plan. Here's the third thing. Look at verse 15. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We must be confident in our prayer. We must be committed to His plan. And then we will be comforted by His promise. You see, if we pray in the will of God, God's going to do two things. One, God will hear us. Two, God will heed us. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That's a plain statement of His omniscience. He heareth us. I was in a strange prayer meeting last year in the state of Georgia. I was asked to preach at a group of pastors get together. It was a Monday morning. There were 40 or 50 pastors there. And I never heard anybody praying like this before. Usually in our prayer meetings, you know, everybody prays individually. They just all got down on their knees and prayed audibly all at the same time. It was amazing. They're just praying all audibly at the same time. Isn't our God wonderful that He could take those individual prayers that were going up from those 40 or 50 servants of God? He hears us. That's a plain statement, says John Phillips, of His omniscience. He hears us. Isn't it amazing that there are millions of Christians who will storm the throne of grace today? He heareth us.
It carries with it the idea not just of listening, but of acting on what has been heard. You know, the Lord responds to our prayers in various ways. Sometimes His response is direct.
You remember Abraham's servant praying for a bride for Isaac? The Bible says that before he was through praying, God sent the answer in the person of Rebekah. There she was, standing, ready for Isaac, straight from the hand of God. Sometimes God's response is direct. Sometimes God's response is delayed. Mary and Martha sent word to the Lord Jesus that their brother Lazarus, whom he loved, was ill. The Lord Jesus delayed His coming. You see, God knows what is best. And my friends, God knows when is best. You can be sure of this morning. The Lord's never too late. He's always on time. Sometimes God's response is direct. Sometimes God's response is delayed. Sometimes God's response is different. Do you remember Paul went into the presence of the Lord and he prayed for healing? He said, Lord, give me wholeness instead of pain. Give me health instead of sickness. The Lord says, no. I'm going to throw an ingredient into your situation, Paul. It's called Greece. A man made an enormous appeal of Napoleon on one occasion, and to the amazement of the entire army, Napoleon granted this man's large request. And the army gathered around their leader and they said, why did you grant such a large request as this? And Napoleon said, he honored me by his magnitude. Sometimes God's response to my praying is direct. Sometimes it's delayed. Sometimes it's different. Sometimes it's denial. You remember that when Moses went into the presence of the Lord, and he said, Lord, I want to go into the promised land. And God said, Moses, speak no more to me about this matter. Sometimes God says no. But regardless of His response, He'll always respond to us, for He hears us. And then John says something else. Look at it in closing. He says, God hears us. And then he says, God heeds us. Verse 15. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. He hears us. That is a plain statement of His omniscience. He heeds us. That's a plain statement of His omnipotence. An unshakable conviction. That when we've asked, anything according to the will of God, we have it, whether we see it or not. You know, George Mueller was not only a great man who looked after thousands of orphans, he was a great man of prayer. And there's one thing in the life of George Mueller that's abounding when you read his details about his life. There are many instances of George Mueller praying in the will of God. Let me give you one. On one occasion, he was on his way to the United States of America. And he didn't fly by Continental. It wasn't a direct flight from Bristol to the States. And so he had to go by boat. He was on a ship that was fog-bound off the coast of Newfoundland. It was a Wednesday night, and they were just inching their way forward in the darkness of the night and in the fog. And Mueller went up to the bridge and he said to the captain, he said, Captain, I have to be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon to preach the gospel. The captain looked at him and said, sir, that's impossible. He said, we ain't going to make it. Mueller said, well, let's go down to the chart room and pray to the Lord. The captain looked at him and said, are you crazy? He said, I can't go to the chart room right now. He said, do you have any idea how dense this fog is? Mueller said, my eye's not on the density of the fog. He said, my eye's on the God who controls every circumstance of my life. And once they got to the chart room down there in the ship, Mueller got down on his knees and prayed. And later the captain said, you know, there wasn't anything really very special about George Mueller's praying. But you know, when George Mueller had prayed, to the Lord about lifting the fog, he said to the captain, he said, "You can't believe God can do it. And I believe he already has." And when they got back to the bridge, the fog was lifted. George Mueller prayed in the will of God. And he had the request which he had asked from God. My friend, let me tell you this morning, listen. He's the creator of the universe. He's the God who sits upon the circle of the earth. Do you ever get amused at our politicians and the politicians right across the world? You would almost think that they had the whole world in their hand. Listen, he's on the throne this morning. He's the creator of the universe. He's able to meet the need that lies heavy on your heart this morning. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace, his power is such that none can ever ask too much. The key to getting God to work is prayer. The key to getting prayer to work is praying in the will of God. Are you confident in your prayer? Are you committed to his plan? Well, if you're confident in your prayer and you're committed to his plan, you'll be comforted by his promise. He hears you. He heeds you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its instruction. We thank you, Lord, for its challenge. Bless it to our hearts this morning. Grant our Father that we may not be weighed down with the largeness and the greatness of our request, but Lord, that we may get our eyes upon the greatness of our God this morning. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ever ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Lord, make us in these closing days of time men and women of prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.